We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, no, it's you know, like I said, we got a rough week still. The rest of this week up until today, you know, with three more games here and then three with Milwaukee, who's starting pitching is just killer. We knew coming in out of the break, this was going to be a really rough stretch for us. We're hanging in there right now. We're going to keep grinding and fighting. And you know, we got a Charlie's going tomorrow and Max, shoot, Drew. We're okay. We're lined up really good, I think, for the rest of the series. And you know, guys are going to be ready. We're going to fight our way through this thing.
I know it's coach speak, but what else can you say? I mean, you can't say much else. But here's the problem with the Braves right now. The Braves split last night with the Mets. Welcome back to the morning show with John Hugh. Hugh, here's the problem with the Braves right now. You're 100 games in. You got 62 games to go. You can really look at – you got the trade deadline coming up, right? It's going to be Friday at 4 o'clock. Mm-hmm. It's Tuesday morning at 8. You've got, 3 days and 8 hours until the trade deadline. What are you going to do?
That's the million-dollar question.
Seller? I mean, you're still in it. You're not out of it.
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, John. What are you going to do? What are your options right now? And they need to figure that out. That's an AA problem. AA problem. That's him and how he gonna get this team going.
Right. I saw Peter Moylan tweeted out, Trey Turner, where do you bet him in the order? Well, are you in the discussion for Trey Turner? I mean, you going to go out there and make a run? The Washington Nationals are probably waving the white flag right about now. Are you going to, because there's rumors that Max Scherzer could move.
That would be very, very interesting if that was the case.
Yeah, it sounds like if they move Scherzer, the Washington Nationals are just going to do a hard reset. So you're going to be buyers. Is that what you're telling me? You're going to go out and get a guy like Trey Turner? You're buyers on the margin, and that's no offense to Jock Peterson and Trey Turner, but because Trey Turner, you're going, well, you already have a shortstop. I know, but you can play Trey in the outfield. You can put him in left. You're buyers on the margin here. You're not going out and getting Rizzo. You're not getting Chris Bryant. You're not making big moves. Somebody said, hey, could you go get Josh Donaldson back and put Riley in left? And I was like, no, you're not going to put Austin Riley in left field anymore. That's just not going to happen. He's your third baseman. You either play him at third or you're not going to make it, okay? Mm-hmm. So, but I don't know, Hugh. I mean, what do you do? Freddie almost had a three-run home run, hit one to the wall last night in Game 2 that might have given the Braves a win. And all I can think about watching Freddie at bat is how much pressure is on him. Because while he's got Ozzie and he's got Austin Riley, he doesn't have Ronald Acuna, Marcelo Zuna, Travis d'Arnaud around him anymore. And, not that he has to carry the team, but he got to carry the team. And that's a lot. It's sort of like it was 4 years ago when he was about the only bat you had in the lineup before they made 5 years ago when they made them up to moves. He had Jay Hay. There wasn't a whole – he had Ugla, all right, maybe more than that, maybe 6 years ago. But Freddie's got to carry this team. I'm a little flummoxed here. Are you going to be sellers? Are you going to be buyers? And you only have 3 days to make that call. That's tough to say.
Can you imagine how they feel? Not knowing what this division holds or how it's going to play out and things of that nature. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of the same thing. And the most frustrating thing about all of it is the fact that, we all getting sucked back in. You're getting sucked in to what potentially could be and trying to figure out what's going to happen. But that's this year's baseball. That's bottom line. That's basically what it is. Nobody knows. Nobody knows what this team is going to be. And it just seems like every time you see something that they're doing well, they take a step back. They regress a little bit.
You know, I got to defend Brian Snicker a little bit. I know that I just got groans at every car out there from Braves fans. You know, we got to get rid of Snit. You know, let's look at what he's done here. You know, I mean, won the East when he wasn't supposed to win the East 3 years ago. And then, you know, 2 years ago, he wins the East back-to-back. And then last year, not only wins the East, goes to 3-1. Yeah, but if he had made the right call. Okay. They made the NLCS last year, correct? So that's win the East, make the NLCS in three consecutive years. And here you are, 100 games into a year, where you don't have Mike Soroka. You know, you couldn't keep Mark Melanson. You wanted to. You couldn't keep him. He wanted to leave. Then you lose Ronald Acuna, for crying out loud. Travis Darno for almost the whole year. Marcelo Zuna for the whole year and the rest of his career. You lose all those guys, and you're still at a position when we go to the trade deadline of, yeah, can we compete? That's, you know, that's using a little bit of, you know, jury-rigging and bailing wire to keep this team in the hunt here, and that's got to be something that, you know, I would think would earn the respect of the fans, but apparently it doesn't.
No, nobody's trying to hear that, John. Nobody understands the labor pains. They just want to see the baby. That's how it always is. And so I don't know why you expect it to be any different than that, because that's basically what we're talking about.
So
the labor pains.
Yeah, so the Braves have got that. We'll get more into the Braves here as we talk a little bit about this, heading towards through the hour here with Brett McMurphy of Stadium going to join us later in the hour, talk a little bit about college football and where we stand with the SEC now that Texas and Oklahoma are going to become members, and how this is all – we're going to have divisions, we're going to have pods, when is this going to happen, all those kind of questions that we'll get to and get some insight from him. There is some breaking news out of Tokyo where Simone Biles is apparently out with an injury and will not be part of the U.S. Women's team moving forward here. So big news here. So yeah, I don't know if you watched any of the gymnastics out there, everybody watching gymnastics, but she did not look like herself. Her floor exercise, she made a big mistake, big error, stepped off the mat.
I haven't watched it.
Yeah, and in the vault, she almost missed the vault. I mean, she literally almost missed it, Hugh. She almost missed the jump. And then she almost missed the vault itself, almost overshot it, and then ended up falling and collapsing out of bounds. And when she did, she injured herself. And so, yeah, she was not on her A game. And so this is a big loss for the U.S. women's team. It's a big loss for the American side in the Olympics because, you know, going in, I think it was fair to say that she was probably the biggest star on the team.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. No doubt about that. No doubt about that. I think it's just been a little – rough a little bit for the USA, a little bit over there. I noticed – I don't know what the medal count is exactly. What is the medal count? I know Abe's been watching.
The U.S. is the most – tied for the most overall with China as of this morning, as of the start of this morning, and the most golds.
Okay.
And that'll, China will fall off when we get away from swimming and gymnastics and U.S. gets track and field and some of that stuff.
Yeah, still got the strong
Just to be clear on Simone Biles, some of the more newer reports, John, it's being described as a mental issue, not physical. And right now, she's only pulled out of the team final. No word yet on the all-around or the specific apparatus competitions.
Yeah, and she is just – her head is not right. I mean, and when I say that, Hugh, this is not the Simone Biles we know. I mean, just watching her, you know, watching gymnastics the other night, watching the early rounds, I was going, okay, she's not present here or whatever it is. I don't know what's going on, but that is not the world champion, best in the world that we know her to be. She was not only not the best in the world, she wasn't even the best on her team. Matter of fact, she may have been the worst performer on the American team of the six. And that includes two alternates, Hugh.
So
she may have been the worst.
To Abe's point, that must be something going on with her. I mean, because I haven't watched it. I haven't, you know, the times. I know Abe has been doing a great job of posting the times when things are going on. But, you know, yeah, I haven't tuned into any of it.
Yeah, so we'll keep our eyes on what is a huge developing story out of Tokyo, that Simone Biles may be off the U.S. Olympic team, or at least taking a, from the team portion of it. Now, will she come back for the individual portion next week? I don't know. I guess we'll have to kind of keep our eyes on that and see if it is just more a mental issue than a physical issue. Can she get her head right and get into the game and be back to try and win some golds individually? Certainly, I know that the U.S. women's gymnastics team wants that, I can guarantee you NBC does. I mean, NBC, I don't know what the rights fees were, Hugh, because so far, are we into these Olympics or not? I mean, because, you know, I know that the Maven wants to watch them at night, and that's fine, but I get a real sense, you know, with no fans there, there's just, you know.
I haven't, like, John, I'm not going to lie. I have not been that invested in it. Maybe when track and field starts, maybe I'll watch a little bit of that because what Alex Phoenix is there, Allison Phoenix is there and all the other stuff. So maybe, but after that, before that, I don't think so.
I mean, the U.S. men's basketball team kind of limping around out there. You know, we've got the weird times that we already have to deal with, you know, in terms of, you know, events taking place at 5 in the morning and 6 in the morning. Like this morning, the U.S. women's soccer team played at 4 a.m. They ended up in a 0-0 draw with Australia. And I had that game on this morning. And, you know, basically an empty stadium. And unlike where when we had the COVID games that took place last year, Hugh, in American Pro Sports, right? And we put all those cardboard cutouts up there and they were piping in sound and stuff like that. That was awkward and weird. But I was just so happy to have sports back. I didn't care. But they're not doing any of that in Tokyo. And so what you're getting is you're getting empty seats and no sound. And it's just death on TV.
I mean, you know what? And listen, another thing is like all the restrictions and stuff that you're hearing coming out of there. I mean, and listen, you got to do what you have to do for your well-being. But I was like, man, I'm cool. I'm good. Like with everything that's going on, I'm good.
I mean,
but
so
again,
far,
when track and field start, maybe I'll tune into that.
So far, these Olympics have been kind of a bust. Oren, are you vested at all in the Olympics so far?
Absolutely. And to your point about the early mornings, that's great for us, me and Abe, because this morning I sat in here and did the first hour replay and watched the women's national team play. So, I mean, these weird hours are perfect for my very weird sleeping habits right now.
Okay, so for you, all right, personally.
Everybody has weird sleeping habits, man. It's just, it's a weird time.
Abe, I mean, you are the
yeah,
P1 sports fan.
Yeah, I stayed up last night to watch the swimming. Probably stay up again tonight. Ledecky races in the 1500 at like 10:45 or something like that. So I think I can maybe get to bed by 11:15 tonight. Depending on what I want to watch. And, yes, Abe Zorn, when I took the dog for a walk this morning, I had the phone out. I mean, I'm watching all this stuff. I'm weird. I get into all this stuff. I've been watching the triathlon and cycling events and, you know, all that stuff. So surfing was this morning. The golden at, so.
Yeah, you can never ask Abe about, is he watching sports?
No, that's a bad question.
Oh, no, Abe watching sports.
The question
was like,
is how
what,
many of
what
them
was
am I watching at once?
What was it, Friday? He tweeted out, like, early in the morning he was watching some, or was it Saturday morning? One of the mornings.
Well, it was Friday night into Saturday morning. That was the road race.
Yeah, he's watching badminton. He's watching table tennis.
He watch a lot of table tennis yesterday. That's true.
He the man.
Something's got to do it, you. I guess. He's into the ping pong there. You know, is Forrest Gump playing? No? Yeah? No? Brett McMurphy of Stadium going to join us, give us an update on the SEC. We'll do that at 8:40 this morning with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, I mean, I think we got a lot of great players. I feel like we have the ability to get things done. It's just a matter of, like you said, consistently doing that. You know, I feel like it's at times a little inconsistent, but you know, that's the toughest thing to do in this game. You know, I feel like everyone's always searching for that, but we got a lot of great guys that we believe in, and you know, I felt like I feel like the Mets really do have a great pitching staff, and they threw the ball well today. So we'll just come back tomorrow and put some good at-bats together.
Yeah, inconsistent is the story of the Braves season, 49-51 through 100 games. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Another big game tonight for the Atlanta Braves. Charlie Morton, who has been the ace of the staff, unquestioned ace of the staff so far this year, on the mound against the Mets tonight. Let's see if the Braves can get a little bit of offense going in Citi Field in New York. Because yesterday they got enough offense to get a split, but they could have, boy, they could have stolen that second one, Hugh. It would have made a world of difference. They almost did. You know, I talking to some of the fans here, again, I want to stress to you about Brian Snicker. I know the Snicker haters are just out in force. If the Braves win the East, okay, I think Brian Snicker ought to get, he's probably not going to win, but he ought to get lots of votes for manager of the year.
Ooh.
Dude, he's going to win the East with no Soroka, no Acuna, no Ozuna, and no Darnold?
No, I mean, I hear what you're saying. I mean, but yeah.
He's going to win the East with Heredia and Almonte and Arcia and, you know,
it's
Contreras.
Been a crazy season, no doubt. No doubt. I don't know if they're ready to bestow some accolades on him, but it definitely has been a crazy season. I give you that.
Now, the more I think about it, you know, Peter Moylan again tweeted out and he said, you know, hey, you know, Trey Turner could play the outfield here. So, you know, there's no deal. I mean, people are calling Washington about Trey Turner. You know, maybe he's just trying to speak it into existence. Now, that's another Jock Peterson type move, okay? It's a move on the edges. It's not the we're going to go get, Trevor Bauer. Though apparently, that'll be interesting to see if anybody wants Trevor Bauer. The Dodgers players, did you see that, Hugh? Dodgers players said, don't bring him back. Don't want him.
Oh, wow. I didn't see that, John. I did not see that.
Yeah, Dodgers players said, nope, dude's not welcome in our locker room. I don't know that he's welcome anywhere.
Well, I mean, not no judgment zone because I wasn't.
Well,
there,
you can go ahead and judge this dude. Their pictures.
No, oh yeah, but that's what I'm saying. He sounded like he was into some different stuff, like real different stuff.
So I mean, you're not going to go out and make the gigantic we're going to spend a gazillion dollars for Bauer or Machado or Garrett Cole or even Chris Bryant, because as much as I would love, because I'm a huge Chris Bryant fan, and Chris Bryant, by the way, not only could play third base, you already get a third baseman. Forget that Chris Bryant could play left field for you. I think Chris Bryant could play center field for you. I mean, Chris Bryant's a hell of an athlete. But
no, you've been on that Chris Bryant train for a long time.
Yeah, well, I'm a big fan, Hugh. I think he's a great player. And he's still young enough that he's got five really good years left. And if you want to win World Series, that's the kind of thunder bat you need in this lineup. You know, but – and I'm playing chess here. See, to me, I go out and make a move like Chris Bryant, and I probably put him in left – Not so much, and if you win the East this year, great, but I'm thinking about next year with the DH and the middle of that lineup where you now have Acuna and now you have Riley and you have Swanson and Freddie and Chris Bryant. I mean, you got the makings of something. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying?
You've been on that. You've been on that him coming here for the DH for a while now. I mean, so much so that you almost got me sold on it. But, you know, you're talking about the potential. Are you still willing to give up who are you giving up for him? Dansby
Prospects.
Swanson?
No, prospects.
No, who else would you give it up?
Just give I might, you know, people. Give me. You want Drew Waters? Do you want, pitching prospects? I mean, you're giving up prospects. I mean, the Cubs don't want him. I mean, the Cubs are not going to pay him.
I think you was willing to give up. You were willing to give up Austin Riley too, John, if I'm not mistaken.
At the beginning of the year.
Yeah, you were willing to give up Austin Riley too.
Price has gone down. We're at trade deadline here. I mean, no, I'm not giving you Austin Riley. I'll give you Drew Waters. I'll give you, a pitching prospect. I mean, that's what the Cubs are going to get. Look, the Cubs aren't signing him, Hugh. So the Cubs' option is take prospects or cut him. I mean, he's going to – well, not cut him. He's going to go to free agency and get nothing for him. So better you get prospects than nothing. So that's where the Cubs are at. Look, the Cubs are doing a really hard reset, Hugh. No Rizzo, no Baez. They've already made a couple of trades. No Bryant. They're basically Pete Ricketts. Pete Ricketts is an interesting guy. He's the governor of Nebraska, owns the Cubs. He is TD Ameritrade. And so I think Pete Ricketts has said, okay, fine. We're restarting from scratch here. I think the Cubs are going into a hard reset. And they're going to scrap the team and start over. And so Yeah, they'll take prospects in that regard. So, yeah, you can give up a couple prospects. That isn't the question. The question is, will Liberty Media pay Chris Bryant, $30 million a year? You know, and because that's what it's going to take to get a quality player like that. You know, I mean, you're going to have to spend, 6 years and $180 million, which they have not been inclined, especially when you're looking at having to sign Dansby Swanson and Freddie Freeman. And Freddie's going to get 6 years and $180 million, and Dansby's going to get 5 years and $100 million. And then you got to figure out, we got to pay, that'll give us, $100 million player in Ozzie, $100 million player in Acuna, $100 million this, honey, and now you got to pay your pitchers. And, do you want to swim in the waters of the salary of the Mets and the Yankees and the Dodgers and the Red Sox? And so far, the answer to that is no from Liberty Media. They don't.
Yeah, and just reading the story a little bit on Chris Bryant, John, it sounds like the Mets are hot and heavy for him.
Oh, the Mets are hot and heavy for him.
Yeah, it sounds like they're real hot and heavy for him.
Well, sure. Yeah, you want to put him next to Pete Alonso in that lineup. Dominic Smith, yeah, sure. I mean, the Mets have struggled to hit the ball. But you put Chris Bryant in that lineup, that changes that, alters that lineup a lot. Man, that 1-2 punch of Alonso and Bryant back-to-back, good luck with that. Whew. That could be nasty. That's why I'd like him here. But anyway, so it sounds more like a marginal move around the edges like a Trey Turner, and I don't mean that demeaning to Trey Turner, but Trey Turner is not Chris Bryant. Jock Peterson is not.
And I think the biggest issue that we're all talking about is the fact that, the money, the bang for the buck, if you will.
Yeah,
the bang for the buck. They don't want to spend that. They don't want to spend that kind of money.
You also get what you pay for, too.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Having said that, the more I think about this, Hugh, I think the Braves are not going to be inclined to be sellers. I think they're going to be fairly stand pat, and I can see them making 1 to 2 more minor moves here, and they're going to be marginal moves. I think they like Charlie Morton so much that there might be a desire on their behalf to sign him for next year. And because you can't know about Soroka. Mm-hmm. And so
that's the tough one, John. You talk about going back and having the same surgery done again and not knowing what you're going to get. And I know that Will was like talking about he's going to be fine, but you just never know.
Yeah, you never know. And keep in mind, he won't have pitched for 2 years, calendar years. That's a long time. You get back in a bike, but he may need to come back.
I mean, it's not so much that you forget how to pitch. It's just that how long it's going to take you. How long is it going to take you to get back up to speed? That's
even
the biggest thing.
If he's healthy in spring training, he may not be ready until the middle of the year.
Yeah, I mean, because it's going to be a while. It's going to be a while because your body has to get reacclimated to what it's been used to doing, and you haven't done it for 2 years. That's pretty tough.
So I'm going to guess here. Again, this is where, because we're all trying to figure this out. So let me guess here. Now, this may change by tomorrow morning. I don't know. But as I sit here on a Tuesday morning ahead of the Friday 4 o'clock deadline, I'm going to guess the Braves are going to make a minor move for a bat, an outfield bat, a Trey Turner-like move. Okay, I don't know if it'll be Trey Turner, but it'll be a Trey Turner-like move. Somebody certainly could be somebody else, but it'll be a Jock Peterson kind of style move. Yeah, a good player, but nothing that's going to break your bank, a guy that you pay $5, $6 million to. With the hopes that he can come in and give you, something, especially if he's going to be a bench guy maybe next year or even start for you next year. And I think they may make a minor move in terms of relief pitching and go out. Could they go get Kimbrel? They could, I guess. That's a guy you could rent. I mean, there'd be no reason. Now, that's a guy who can make a case for you. There'd be no reason you couldn't rent Kimbrel for the remainder of the year. You could rent him. Because the Cubs are going to get rid of him, too. So you bring him back. Boy, that'd be a popular move, too, for the Braves to do. Bring him back. You need a closer, and so you bring him back and make him your closer and put Will Smith into the eighth inning role. So, and then you just kind of go, okay, we made these two moves. Let's just see what happens here. Maybe we get lucky. Maybe we get hot because, we haven't been hot all year. Maybe we put together a month of August that suddenly we're, in first place and we win the division and go, look at that. We're 84-78 and we won the division. How about that?
You know what the unfortunate thing about everything that you're saying is, John, is that it's a whole lot of ifs and maybes.
Well, yeah, I know.
It's a whole lot of ifs and maybes, brother.
I don't see why you wouldn't. I mean, you might as well kind of semi-go for it. You're not really going to go for it, but you might semi-go for it. And
basically, you just want to placate the fans by making moves right now because that's kind of what it sounds like. Just to
Well, I think I'm semi kind of going for it. Go out and make a move for an outfielder and a guy like Kimbrel and rent the reliever.
I would say this, though. With the minimal moves that you've already made, though, John, you're still right there. You split with the Phillies. You're split right now with the Mets. So the mess, like you like to say. So, I mean, you're still kind of right there. I mean, and everything is still kind of up in the air. So,
Yeah, I'm just saying. There's no reason not to at least try to win the East this year, at least at the moment. It may change 2 weeks from now. You would, darn it, we should have sold players because now look at us. But if you think that this team can, with a couple of small tweaks here and there, maybe stumble into a division title, and then once you get to the playoffs, anything can happen, right? So might as well make a – I think at this point I'm a minor buyer. That's my status at 8:33 in the morning on a Tuesday ahead of the trade deadline. I'm minor buyer status. Coming up, Brett McMurphy of Stadium going to join us, Stadium.com, talking about what's next for the SEC. How's this going to work now that Texas and Oklahoma are coming to the league? When are they going to come to the league? And are we going to have divisions? Are they going to be in the West? Are they going to have pods? How's this all going to play out for the SEC with these two powers joining the league? Next, with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The Game welcomes AEG Presents and Concerts West as they present the Rolling Stones No Filter Tour. No Filter 2021, that's their North American tour. The Stones are back. No Filter Tour returns to Atlanta November 11th, 2021. Mercedes-Benz Stadium tickets on sale now. By the way, you can listen to 92.9 The Game all week long for your chance to win tickets to see the Rolling Stones, who released their first album, Hugh, in 1964. And here it is, 2020. 57 years later, they're still touring.
Hey, listen, I saw some of the pictures, like, on television, because that's a big deal here in Georgia. Dude, them cats old, man. I mean, but, hey, they still rocking, so God bless them.
God bless them. Brett McMurphy's still rocking, too.
He's not that old, though, John.
No, he's not that old. No, he's like me, you know. Well, he's actually younger than me, but that's okay. Remembers the Stones from when the Stones were already in their 40s, and now we were kids. He joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Of course, Brett McMurphy of Stadium.com. Hey, Brett, how you doing?
Hey, good. Nice segue. I live in Tampa, and I noticed the Stones are playing here at Raymond James, home of the Bucks. So maybe Brady's found somebody older than him that will perform in Raymond James Stadium.
Well, I thought, they should be at the Villages. That's kind of – that would fit. I mean,
it's too crowded, and they probably don't have their own golf cart, so they can't do it.
So, Brett, Big 12, Oklahoma, Texas leaving. They're not going to the SEC anytime soon. How are they going to be treated now, knowing that everybody knows that in the Big 12 that they're leaving? How do you think it's going to go for them?
Well, you played. How do you think it's going to be treated? Fans are going to go bananas. The thing to keep in mind, though, is, right now everybody's saying all the right things. We're going to stay in the conference through the 2024 season. We intend to keep our commitments, yada, yada, yada. However, as you guys know, we've gone through realignment several times in the past 10 years or so, and every time there's a school that leaves a league and has a couple more years in their contract, the lawyers get involved, they reach a settlement, and then they join the conference the next year. I still think Oklahoma, Texas will end up in the SEC next year. The only way they don't is if the Big 12 decides, look, we're gonna dig our feet in here, dig our heels in. We're going to force these guys to play the remaining 4 years in the Big 12. We don't care how much money we would have made if they would have left. We're going to make them play and be miserable for the next 4 years. Kind of like Seinfeld when he returns the jacket and they ask him why, and he goes, for spite. The Big 12 may just say, we're just going to do this for spite. But also it would actually keep their league together for at least 4 more years, and they wouldn't have to worry as much about losing other members to other leagues if Texas and Oklahoma had to play the next 4 years.
Yeah, until other teams say, you know what, we're not going to take that chance. We have an opportunity to jump. And if, the four teams of Texas Tech and Oklahoma State and Kansas State want to just, you know, altogether jump to the Pac-12, for example, they may just say, you know what, we're out now. And so the whole thing just falls apart on them.
Now, you're right, but the question is, are they going to get those invites? And that's what I really need to keep your eye on in the next few months, is if these other leagues decide to expand or not. And if they don't expand, the Big 12 can survive. If these other leagues decide to pick off some teams that you named, then the Big 12 implodes, and we go from 10 FBS conferences to 9.
Yep. So we're talking to Brett McMurphy of Stadium.com about all the fallout. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves on that. I want to go back to the SEC. When Texas and Oklahoma join, one of the big questions that fans have, Brett, do you have any idea how this is going to break out? Are they going to go to 2 8-team divisions? And if they do, that would seem to me that it would mean Alabama and Auburn would come to the East with Georgia and Florida, and the Texas and Oklahoma would replace them in the West. Do you see that happening? And or is it going to be a pod system where you would have 4 4-team pods?
All of the above. They don't know that yet. I've reached out to people with knowledge of the schedules, and they said, "Look, we don't even have our schedule done next year for just our current membership. So there's no way we have a schedule done with Texas and Oklahoma in the loop." That's something the ADs will discuss. I think basically it's going to boil down to this. I don't think it's going to matter what division or what pod you're in. I think the SEC will be creative, and they will make sure that all the schools will get to play the other schools. So the fans and the players get to see, you know, the opponents like once every 4 years. So obviously Alabama and Auburn will still play every year, but maybe they get rid of, a second rivalry opponent, annual opponent that they've had in the past, so they will allow the schools to filter through the other league schools. For instance, they could put kind of do what the ACC did. They could put Texas and Oklahoma in different divisions or different pods, but as long as they play every year, it really doesn't matter. Another thing to keep in mind is, how do they want to structure the pods and or divisions to determine who gets to the conference championship game? Because remember, when we go to a 12-team playoff, the conference champion gets if they're one of the top six, which obviously the SEC should be, will get an automatic bid to that playoff. However, if the divisions are lopsided and you've got a weaker division and a stronger division, and the winner of the weaker division actually wins the conference championship, and say they're only ranked, 15th in the country, they may not get that automatic bid. And so the SEC may decide, look, we want our two top teams, no matter what divisions they're in, playing in the conference championship game. I don't know if they would necessarily get rid of divisions, but I guess the pod example you've brought up could be one way to get around from having divisions, and then you just have the four pods, and you have a 16-team standing, and the top two teams go to the conference title game.
Since we're talking about the Big 12, what other teams, if you were looking to poach, what other teams could be potentially poached from the Big 12 if other conferences were looking to do that?
Hugh, the big thing is, and the reason why the SEC and expanded is because by bringing in Oklahoma and Texas, it adds more value per school to the league. Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, I don't know. I think the Big Ten is going to decide if by adding Kansas and Iowa State, which I know Kansas is not the greatest college football program right now. Okay, they're the worst. But the question is, does that bring more value to them? Both schools are AAU members, which is a prestigious academic standing, which the Big Ten covets. So do you add them to get to 16? If you're the ACC, West Virginia would obviously be a perfect fit as far as geography-wise. You rekindle the backyard brawl with Pitt. They also renew the rivalries with Syracuse, Virginia Tech, et cetera. But does the ACC make more money per school if you add West Virginia, because now you've got another mouth to feed? The slices of the pie, do they get smaller? I think that will ultimately determine whether those guys make those moves. If you ask me, who do I think they should add just based on geography and other factors? If I'm the ACC, I add West Virginia, but I may not make as much money. So the ACC has to make that decision. There's not a right or wrong answer. But they just have to make that decision. Do we want to add West Virginia to get to a 15th member and then hold out hope Notre Dame changes their mind and gets us to 16? Or they decide we're better off just staying where we are right now with 14 and a half with Notre Dame and just going on like we have been. I don't know if the other leagues are going to feel pressure to get to 16 to match what the SEC did, because quite frankly, none of those other leagues, there's no other Oklahoma and Texas options out there for anybody else.
Brett McMurphy is one of the leading college football experts in the country from stadium.com. He's been kind enough to join us here. We can sit here and play out all these scenarios, all the chatter. Well, would the Big Ten go after, you know, USC and UCLA, and would the ACC and Big Ten merge? All these different things. We sit here and play this game for 2 hours if we want. I think the bigger question is, Brett, that I have for you. Are we on the verge of super conference where, you know, we would just have all these big schools break away, and is that the death of the NCAA?
Yeah, I think it is, John. I think that, you know, obviously, I think 16 teams is a super conference, so one down, three to go. And, you know, I realize, look, I'm an Oklahoma State grad. I don't like this. You know, I'm concerned about my alma mater, where they're going to end up. You know, who knows where they can end up. But I understand why Texas and Oklahoma did this for financial reasons. And, you know, I think Greg Sankey and the SEC kind of realized what I thought this for a while, and I think other people in college athletics thought this, is that at some point we're going to get to these 16-team super conferences. So do you want to be first to get to 16 so you have the top choice, or do you want to wait and be one of the last conferences to get to 16 and then your options aren't as great? And specifically about the NCAA, look, I think even if the SEC didn't add Oklahoma and Texas, the NCAA is on its last breath. So it's just a matter of time. They have nothing to do with the college football playoff. All they do is run the championships of the non-football sports. And with the name, image, and likeness happening, a lot of their jurisdiction is going by the wayside. So really, what do they do anymore? I think you're dead on. I think the NCAA, you know, is in its last few, you know, moments. I don't want to say they're gone tomorrow, but I think certainly in the next, you know, 2 or 3 years, maybe by the time we start the 12-team playoff, we won't see an NCAA, and these power conferences will basically make their own rules on how they're going to govern themselves. And, you know, because the old days of San Jose State having to play by the same rules as Alabama, or Alabama being restricted to the same monetary things, whether it's staffing issues or other things, because that's how it is for everybody in the NCAA, those are long gone in the past. So kind of like Oklahoma and Texas joining the SEC, it's not if, but when, kind of like the NCAA going away. It's not if, but when.
Brett, we'll certainly keep our eyes on it. I know that a lot of, you know, fans of, you know, basketball schools like in the Big East or Gonzagas of the world are, you know, watching this intently too. How does it affect that, you know, men's basketball, women's basketball, other sports, but football's got to lead the way. And we'll see what these super conferences do. The answer to the question about what's going to happen to the other sports is we don't know. We don't even know what's going to happen with football yet. So it's going to be it's the Wild West with the NIL and with the 12-team playoff and with all this changing. Just, you know, take a deep breath and hang on to your hat, because whatever you think could happen probably may, and may be something else. Who knew that we'd be talking about Texas and Oklahoma here this year right now talking about joining the SEC. All right. Thanks, Brett. Do appreciate
it. You're the man, Brett. Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
Brett McMurphy, one of the leading college football experts in the country. Yeah, again, you can play scenario after scenario after scenario in your head. But just stand by for news. Yeah, because we don't know yet. And Notre Dame is the kind of the big key to the ACC and the Big Ten. You know, are they going to join a league or not? But right now, they're not inclined. Why would they want to give up, you know, a network deal that they have with NBC? They're not inclined to do that. In the next hour, Harry Douglas on the Falcons and the opening of training camp today. All ahead with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio.
Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day.
Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.